So MLP draft, it's come and gone and very interesting. I'm excited because there's so many quality internationals that are coming to our shores, but it's a lot of internationals and other than I think the Australian pickleball public are used to. The most controversial part was only 5 Australians and New Zealanders were picked, and there's only 7 Australian captains, and then we've got the 2 New Zealand captains. And yeah, boys, I've got to say, I put out an anonymous post and asked for feedback, and I got a lot of feedback. And I'm interested to know, firstly, Matt Carter, what were your thoughts? I mean, you're away from it now, but you know, having been a part of it in season one, where we had, I think we had about 20 to 24 Australian and New Zealand players last season two, should I say, we had, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15. Now we've only got 5 that were picked and 12 in total. So it's a different looking year already.
Yeah, look, it's like I mentioned earlier, I am, you know, I'm just super thankful to end up where I am. I was, after watching the draft and even prior to the draft, I kind of knew that that was where it was going to go. Just had a feeling. There were a lot of others put down as a list. There are a lot of APAC people that were previously, or others that were previously, you know, international picks. Personally, alluding to the overall feel of how many Australians and locals, my favourite event, and this has nothing to do with my personal teams, but the overall event was Brisbane in season one. Just the way it was, the environment of having, as you mentioned, a lot more locals, a lot more Australians, in that, and a lot more Queensland-based people. The families were there. Everyone was getting behind them. There were a lot of people saying, let's catch up after. And it was a big group. It was, you know, 20, 30, 40 people wanting to go out. There wasn't as much of that in season two, in terms of a big collaboration. And that became because there were, you know, there were less, I guess, there were less Australians and locals in there, and they didn't know each other. So there's a lot more of sort of like, you know, school groups, and they're all, you know, trying to get together
We've
with
all
each
been
other,
a part
and,
of that,
and they're also
yep.
trying to learn each other, right? Like they're playing a full season together. They want to go out and learn. So I did the same thing. I wanted to stay in Airbnb and get to know my teammates and train with them more in the first instance. So I totally understand it. But from a personal viewpoint, this was never my my life and my career. Like pickleball wasn't what I'm here to do. It's just a really fun hobby, and I wanted to just remain that way. Therefore, I am actually grateful for where I ended up not being a captain and just being a player for NPL. But in terms of the MLP draft, I would not have wanted to be a captain in that draft. I even remember, and I really love Sarah, have a lot of respect for her, you know, the OG, the pickleball queen of Australia. And I remember hearing her talk after the draft of how stressed she was. She went down to the court just to getting names, and, you know, she felt like she had to justify who she picked. And I'm like, that's so hard. That's such a burden on her. She knows so many locals. And I'm sure there was a lot of that in this draft, being with so many more internationals coming in and others and unknowns and, you know, calculated risks. But you also got to remember that a lot of these players have been traveling abroad. They know these players. It's not necessarily a wild card. They might have been in season one. They might have been over in the PWR or the, you know, sort of the external Vietnamese events that were happening. And they sort of know these players. They've been over to play these events in India, and they do know them well. They've seen them play. Some of them have paired up together. So it wasn't surprising. I think it is a bit of a shame, personally. I think that the Challenger and Masters for MLPA will get a lot of interest and engagement. And my personal opinion is that the locals here will disconnect a little bit from Premier. But that's just my personal opinion. I think they'll probably still get viewership. It just won't be from the locals.
Colin, how did you take the draft in?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's trying to understand all these new faces, new names. It breaks my heart that Brown Daddy didn't get selected, which... it was a tough decision by captains, and I understand that. I mean, Matt's got a good point. Like, at the end of the day, you have to try to pick a team that you think is going to win this league, and if you have that opportunity to do international, then you go for it. But we all want to grow the game organically and through our Australian border, and I feel like we just didn't do a good job in this draft. But there's prize money to be won. And if these captains believe that these international players are going to get them to that podium, then good on them. But I think as us, and I'm going to say it, us Aussies, I do have a Aussie passport. It just tough, you know, there's a lot of people, homegrown talent here that are biting at the bits for this opportunity. But I will say NPL, being one day before drafting, they would have taken a fair bit of talent as well. So the MLP captains couldn't pick those MLP players. So then they, you know, had to go international. And that's kind of how I've taken it.
And Dylan, we were doing a live stream event. And yeah, I think it went really, really well. Like the live stream actually, the broadcast, I should say, yep. You know, Sanj and James and Brendan did a great job. And it seemed to like really enhance itself from previous drafts. And then, you know, the way that the draft unfolded with, you know, the quickness of picks and so forth, you know, that all ran smoothly. I think the biggest surprise for us when we were doing it was Sarah Burr's final selection, just in terms of what was left at her disposal. She obviously had a male to pick last. And she hadn't yet used her international US pick. She eventually selected Yuvi, fan favorite from last year, the Pickle Prince.
What's up, my people?
And I think we were all excited to see Yuvi again. But do you recall that selection and, you know, how did it make you feel?
For me, it's not necessarily the looking at it right now. For me, it's the hindsight question at the end of the season. Will this be considered a good draft pick? Now, Yuvi's obviously, he was the coach, player coach of the Surge in season one. Obviously heavily involved within pickleball as well. Don't get me wrong, there were some incredible American players that were still available. And that, I think, is going to be the burning question at the end of this season. If the Glory don't do well, then, you know, it's going to be like, okay. Unfortunately for Yuvi, he's going to be the one that cops it. Like, that's another aspect we have to think about, too. Probably no one's thought about that train of thought, in that Yuvi probably has a bunch of people hating on him now because he's taken, you know, an Eric Forsyth or someone like that. He's taken that position, or a Vish, you know. It goes both ways.
Yeah, that's
fair. You talked about Sarah Burkop. Like, she's probably super stressed. It's probably one of the few times in her Australian pickleball career that she's the bad guy. You know, that we have,
yeah.
She's always been the golden girl. Now she's copying negative press. So these are all things that we don't often think about within the general space. Obviously, I want the Glory to do well. I said on the live stream, Thaddea Locke is incredible. So, like, I know those two ladies are going to tear it up. It comes down to the gentlemen and whether they can deliver.
Yeah, well, I think all the captains are the bad guys in one way, shape or form, because, I mean, not all players could be picked, right? So, I mean, it is a tough gig. And you spoke about it a bit off air about, you know, I guess the messages you kind of get before the draft versus what you experience after the draft. And unfortunately, you can only pick three others to join you on a team.
And, like, as best as you can, like, I fully support all of the decisions of all of the captains. Like, you've got to take them for their professional side and their personal side. And, you know, like, I know a lot of people take it personally when they don't get selected. And, you know, there's so much of that obligation and guilt to select your friends or your, you know, for me to pick, like, existing players from my last team. Like, Roman was the only one in season two that got redrafted to a team by Sarah.
True. Right?
So everyone else, not redrafted to the team, right? New players, new teams, whatever the situation was. So I respect everyone's decision. They're doing the best that they can. And I just hope that now that sort of everything's settled, that they can accept that that was a professional and business decision that they made, as we alluded to, for money and for the championship. And this is, for a lot of them, their careers. They're trying to make this full-time versus their personal matter. So I just hope that none of those barriers are crossed as best as it can. And I'm, like I said, I'm super grateful that I'm not in that position anymore.
Yeah, and Holly, you did a good job putting that anonymous feedback up. What did you take from it? What was a lot of the messages that you were receiving? Was it all spread apart, or was there one main message that you were getting?
One main theme, which was definitely disappointment, bordering on anger, actually. Right. I got to say, you know, it's something that I didn't really expect. I didn't really expect the flood of replies.
It's like 70 plus messages.
Yeah, which, you know, for engagement is pretty solid. But yeah, people were just disappointed that there was the lack of Australians and New Zealanders picked. And I think that's, they've been preconditioned, or we've all been preconditioned by what we experienced last year with, you know, like I said, in season one, there was 20 plus that were picked. Now there's only been five. I know it's called MLP Australia. I think people hang that on as well. And, you know, just because it's MLP Australia doesn't mean it's going to include only Australians. But I think this is just a real transition phase. But I do want to come back because I did pitch a question to captain of the Gold Coast Glory, Sarah Bird, just about that selection. And for the people out there that know or maybe are interested as to why this was one of the most more intriguing picks, it's probably in partly due to the fact that, you know, Yuvi has his own league in India. Not only Sarah is going to be a part of that league in February, but you've also got George Wall, you've got Lucas Pascoe, you've got various MLP players that are pre-selected before this draft. And I guess that was the intriguing piece. So I pitched the question to Sarah and I said, with your last pick in the 2025 MLP Australia draft, you selected male player Yuvraj Rua, who was a very popular player in 2024 playing with the Sea Surge. His selection has been met with some curiosity and intrigue, though, due to many more highly rated players who are still available for selection with that pick. What was your rationale for selecting Rua? Her response: I'm intrigued as to why people were so surprised by this pick. As noted above, he was such an integral part of the Sea Surge team with his energy and his results in both men's and mixed. After selecting Tharia and Vanshik, I gave them a short list of players for the final pick, including US players and Australasian players. It was a unanimous decision. We all agreed that Yuvi was the best fit. The obvious benefit is that Yuvi and Vanshik can train together for men's, and I was not confident that the US male players remaining in the draft could commit to all events. Many were not aware, even on draft day, that they would have to pay their own travel expenses. So I think, you know, that's a fair and good response from Sarah Burr. And to be honest, I think she deserves a bit more credit as one of the, you know, most respected players in Australian pickleball.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the first time that you shared that message to us. So, and it's great that she got her team involved to help with that decision. And it does bring a bit of light. If Yuvi and his male partner can train together in India, then it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the natural way you go about a draft. You know, in your experience, have you consulted with the first player you've picked, then the second player, about who's going to be the second and the third pick?
Absolutely. So for the first draft, I was a little bit close with picks, so I couldn't quite have Kyle on board for my first draft for the second round pick. So I went ahead with that myself, picking Clarice from Philippines. But absolutely had him on board for the last pick. You know, we shared ideas, who we might know and whatnot. And then likewise, me and Danny, we sat down prior, went through the whole draft list together, had names. She knew some locals because I wasn't over here at the time, so she knew some locals, the likes of Lindsay's and Sarah's that I'd never heard of, that are, you know, star players that, you know, were worth looking at, and went through the whole draft and did that together. So it's certainly, you know, we are one person in the team and we don't necessarily know much about them and who they know, but if they've got really strong chemistry, who knows? Like, for example, Yuvi and Vanshik, they might have played and won a tournament together that is not even on Duper or not even visible to us. We have no idea, right? Like, necessarily. So, yeah, absolutely. Collaborating with the team, getting everyone on board, having as much buy-in from everybody is super important. And, yeah, like I said, I have a lot of respect for all the captains and everyone doing their best job. And I also have to give credit to NPL in general, because I think there would be a lot more Australians and locals picked had they not snapped up some of the big names. You know, you think the Joeys, the Dannys, the Summers, the Michaelas, all of those 100% would have been in
absolutely.
There. So that would have upped it. They would have doubled or tripled the amount of locals that were in there. And even further, probably some of the people that were snapped up in the NPL, as you mentioned, Colin. There were some high-level, Deb Rossi from my team.
Yep.
She was one of the highest-level APAC females available on that list by Duper. So very well could have got snapped up in, as a local female in the MLPA Premier.
Yeah. Well, we love the Gold Coast Glory, don't we? And, you know, I'm hoping to see them do really well. You know, I think it's a... it creates a sense of, okay, well, first tournament, let's watch how this team goes. And I think for Juve, you know, actually having a look at his Dupa, he hasn't actually played a Dupa rated game since July of last year.
That's when he went second place with Kyle?
No, that was NPL. Sorry. MLP. Well, the last game he's got in Dupa is NPL, but he did play a couple of weeks prior to that one.
Gotcha, okay.
With Kyle, where he got a silver medal, which, I mean... Yeah. I mean, you say he was playing with Kyle Yates, but Juve saw all the ball in those games. Like, true. No one's hitting a Kyle if they can hit Juve, targeted, right? Yeah. So, look, Juve's a top performer. It's just now we're all watching with a bit of curiosity as to, you know, how he can go. So, hoping he does well. Dylan, when we're on the live stream, there's a few teams that, you know, we got really excited about. Two I recall are, you know, the Bondi Pickleball Club, the new team, and also the Northern Crocs. Are they still your sort of teams that you've got the most keen eye to see how they go at the start of the season?
I mean, with the Crocs, I talked about the Challenger and Masters teams today with Herman. The reason why the Crocs to me immediately stood out is they're all known quantities. So obviously, you know, if we go back to the Glory, and if we use Juve as a comparison with Kyle Yates, the gentleman that he might be pairing with might be the next Aman Bhatia. We don't know that. So, like, if Juve can already play well with someone of that quality, the Glory might be set. Whereas with these guys, the Northern Crocs, obviously Andy D, the two Haases and Willie Chung, we know how good they can all play. Willie Chung had an MVP performance in Vietnam, and obviously the Haases, they're a great combination. So I still back them. Questionable that the Haases were listed as non-US picks.
Other.
They were others. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the thought process was behind that.
But well, it's different to previous draftings, right?
Yeah.
Previous drafts, should I say. And that's the point of conjecture that a lot of people were feeling.
But my immediate rebuttal to that is everyone had the chance to draft them. Like, it's fair. You can whinge about it. But everyone had a choice to draft these two, and they didn't. Andy D played the loophole. That's all it was. She actually read the draft, and as a result, she has a great team. Willie Chung getting picked is another option. Like, he tore it up in Vietnam.
Huge.
Was massive, yeah. And he could have been picked early as well, but he wasn't. So this is something that often happens where teams look at an end result and they grumble about it. But, like, you and I sat in, we did the live stream together, and I'm sure you fellas watched live as well. When you see it playing out, it's like, okay, the thought process is there. For Pryson to get picked last and then suddenly people start complaining about it, it's like, oh, hang on. That's the Crocs' fourth pick.
Yeah.
So people just love the drama side of things. I still back the Crocs. Andy D obviously had an incredible 2024. And I actually think the pressure's on the fellas here. Jamie Haase, we know how good she can play. However, Jamie and Pryson bring in all their little ones. That's wild.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. So family of five, they got three young kids. You did travel over here while you were NZ Hustle captain, playing in tournaments. You know what it's like to leave kids at home. These guys, I'm not sure if they're going to be bringing the kids, but if they have to leave them home, like, tell us a bit about what it takes to be playing pickleball internationally and leaving kids behind, or even having a family, mate.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's so different. Everyone has different parenting styles. They may have, you know, grandparents that love the kids and are super good with them. They may live with them full time. We have zero, like, you know, I don't know them personally to know that. We were very lucky, myself and my wife being really young parents in general. We have all of our, and we're both from split families, so we have all of our families to sort of rely on, and they supported us immensely by looking after the kids when we traveled. Like I mentioned, we went to the World Cup earlier as well, so I did a lot of travel last year. Brought the kids to the Brisbane event. They were there for the local one, obviously, in New Zealand when we lived there. So it's tolling, it's huge. It's not just the time or having them there, it's also the financial commitment to a family. A lot of, as Sarah mentioned in her message, this is out of pocket until you get your prize money, and you don't know how much you're getting. You know, you're guaranteed $1,000, and then that won't cover a one-way trip from India or America or something like that. So I think a lot of respect has to go into these internationals that are choosing to come over as well, because it is a huge commitment from them. But, you know, even the good teams might not make it through. They're only guaranteed $1,000 back, and they are, you know, they are willing to come over despite that. So it's hugely tolling on a family. I don't know if the Haases are bringing the kids or not, if I've got a good support network. I think the biggest controversy around having them both in the same team is last season, Jamie was an international pick for season two of 2024, and now they're an other. So, you know, what is an other? And we've just seen the international criteria change from season one to season two to now. I guess, and you can probably talk to this with the anonymous messages you got, is I sense, and sort of the conversations I'm hearing, is that this is just another international event for all of these international players to come to and basically get a cost-neutral holiday for, whereas they can earn more money and just as much money in their local tournaments in America and India and Vietnam and stuff like that. So it's not, you know, whereas for our premier players, it costs a lot of money to get to India to try and get there. You know, you're paying $3,000 in flights just to get over there to try and earn $1,000 prize money to get seen. So if they could have it on their back doorstep here, that's sort of where I feel the tension is and the disconnect is from allowing MLP Australia to expand so international. I think it's just, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, and they're an entity, they're an organisation, they want to grow, they want a big profile. I get all of that, and I think it's just a reluctancy from the locals to want to allow that when we've got so many of these people trying to make it their all. And we don't have the same amount of opportunities that involve money that can provide pathways or viable pathways for these people to make a living long term, whereas pretty much all of these internationals can do that in their own respective areas. Is that fair to say what the anonymous messages may have been about?
Yeah, some. But the general theme was, you know, the disappointment of the lack of Australian New Zealanders picked. But I think you've brought a fair point as well. I mean, I think I personally am disappointed that the really good internationals aren't hanging around for a lot longer than just the tournament. They some of them do have like a week here to lead in, but honestly, by tournament 3, 4, 5, they literally will fly in 2 days before. First tournament, I think we always see they fly in for like the solid week before. They want to like they get around the team. They love it. They first time to Australia for some of them, and then we don't really get the benefit of them hanging around as a community, I don't think.
And that was the amazing part of season one. So the international criteria required them to be in their respective areas that they were eligible for a certain period of that season. So Kyle Watnell from my team had to show good evidence that he was going to be in New Zealand or Australia, New Zealand for this, for a certain period of time during the period to allow himself to become a local New Zealand pick. And he did that. You know, he came and stayed for, I think it was 6 weeks in total in New Zealand, went round to some free coaching clinics, hung out with the locals, got involved, was there. And obviously Australia as well. He spent a lot of time in Sydney. So, you know, the APAC region. So becoming a local, and he's actually moving over this year. So, you know, he was probably a good example of what the criteria was for season one. And Wes Gabrielson, he did coaching clinics. He came over earlier. He was spending like 3 weeks in total in each one, and he gave an immense amount back to all of, in MLP, outside of it, you know, networking, advocating. He was a huge sounding board for a lot of the Americans that then came over. Carl Yates. I don't think Carl Yates would have come over without Wes Gabrielson coming over.
Yep.
They were good buddies. They played together, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, it's hard. I loved what season one and season two had with a little bit less or a little bit more strict, and I still think that there's so much unknown about other. What does other mean? And I feel like if you can't say what it is, then it probably should class as an international just to give more APAC representation.
Well, one of the other teams was the new team, the Bondi Pickleball Club. Van Reek is the captain.
Can we just talk about that name real quick?
Yeah, what do you want to say about it,
Colin? I mean, I could have helped him out with that name. I think what, anyone here.
Different name, you're saying?
Yeah, that's just pretty Bondi Pickleball Club, right? should I throw a couple out?
Can I Google it?
You could Google
Where it. Will it take me? Is it an actual club? Is it a venue?
Is it a venue? Is it, yeah. Is
Maybe it's going to be a venue. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Rose has told me it's all about the bigger picture, and that's as cryptic as she's left it.
I reckon Bondi Icebergs, right?
Yeah, that's a nice place. That's not,
or what else could it be? Bondi Barracudas? Bondi Bums? Bondi Parallel Parkers? Bondi, I mean, there's so many options. But yeah, let's talk about the team. Rose,
yeah,
first time ever captain.
Look, she's got the tan for Bondi.
That's fair.
And she's picked up Rob Cassidy, who I'm so looking forward to getting back. You haven't met him yet.
I haven't met him.
Telling you, you're gonna meet him early.
Some good stories about this guy, yeah. And him dressed up as the mascot and just being out there. No, but I look forward to meeting him.
I can see you, me, him, and you boys are invited too. We're going to be at the Rainbow Bay Surf Club come the first event down there in Tweed Heads.
Okay, I thought you were going to say some rainbow party. I'm glad we're at a surf club. Go ahead.
We're having a few schooners. A few scooey moo moos.
You reckon he likes beer?
He will totally be down for it.
Okay, yes. My man Rob.
Pleasure of having Rob stay with Airbnb in Melbourne. He is the coolest person.
Hell yeah.
He will always be down for it.
He's the type of guy that gets a leave pass from the missus to come out. He doesn't oh boys, I better stay home. No, he's out.
Do you think he would have came to my high school keg party?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd have done a keg stand.
Oh, okay, he would have done a keg stand. All right, my guy. Look forward to meeting you, Rob. What a great pick by Rose. Yeah. I think she's in the driver's seat, being a top women's captain, picking a woman or a lady first, Paula, who I've never seen play. Do you guys know anything about Paula yet? I know she's from the States.
I think she was definitely from the US. But no, I don't know much about her, but she was
an other pick.
Yeah, she was another.
Because Rob is the American.
You're right. Sorry. Yeah, you're precisely right there.
I thought she was partly like from like Spain or something as well, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had a Brazilian. A player from Brazil picked. Yeah. Did we?
I think she resides in America, but perhaps there's some.
That's what she's claimed.
Around Europe.
Well, she must be good if she's going to be picked first by Rose.
Well, Rose is from the Netherlands. She's played in that. She played in the Madrid Open last year, so she's probably. Maybe they played together. I don't know. I didn't follow actively, but she probably saw her there and had her on her radar and might have been in. But undercover from some of the other captains who may have not been to Europe this year or last year to see her in action.
Yeah. And Mayur, he was the final pick in the Bondi Pickleball Club from India. So I heard lots of good things about him. He's got a bit of X factor, Dylan.
Yeah, well, I mean, admittedly, he's probably, out of all of them, the least known player for myself. But I think with the, this is probably the big controversial point of the APAC pick is that India, and we had a lot of like Taiwan, Korea, Mihei was an eight. Like these players that they're taking that spot, I think, is where there's been a little bit of unhappy people. So obviously with all of our Indian pickleball players, I love commentating them. I want them to succeed. And I hope this gentleman does well. He's got one of the best playing next to him in Rob Cassidy. Yeah. So, I don't see him failing when he's got the combination of Van Riek and Cassidy standing in his team.
Question for you. Fast forward this time next year. What does MLP Australia look like with MLP Asia coming in 2026? We've got a lot of Asian and Indian players in our league this year. So what does MLP Australia look like next year? Assuming that MLP Asia is going to be on the similar scale, similar amount of teams, similar amount of tournaments, I'm hearing more prize money. What do we think MLP Australia 2026 looks like?
Okay, look at me, cool. All right. For me, it's got to come back organic. So, because you're right. So you kind of touched on it in that we almost had a FIFO system in last season and that players would just fly in, fly out.
FIFO? Yeah. I thought it was FIFO.
I'm a territorial. We're illiterate. So, no, but they'd fly in, fly out. And then, and we don't want that. That's like, that's not a healthy culture for a growing sport. So, for me, MLPA, and I'm going to give them a little bit of free advice here, have a massive opportunity to start building an identity with their clubs. They already have eight of the clubs with Challengers and Masters teams. So, if you're the Eastern Rush, for example, and you're playing, you're Katie Hart, and you got your team playing, you get your Masters and Challengers teams to get behind them. You've already got, that's eight additional spectators, and then each team builds. I think for next year, because you've nailed it, like the international players, they're going to go to other markets. India right now is exploding. We haven't even talked about China. Like, China is the next big thing that's happening. So these particular markets are going to quickly devour all of the highest level players. We also have to consider, what if our Australian players go overseas? Amelia Schmidt was not in any of the drafts this year.
Yeah, not in NPL even. She was an MLP player, she's not a part of it, and didn't nominate for NPL.
So that's an example of one of the players going. Mm. The more is going to happen, especially when all this money's coming across. So I am a little bit worried that we've tilted too far to international picks and it may have a negative impact next year.
Matt?
Yeah, there were talks of it when it got released that, you know, that our big star names like Aman, who were in it, will we see them again? Will they go and play local and we won't see them back here? I think I mentioned earlier, Australia and New Zealand, and you said for these internationals, it's sometimes their first time here. So they love a little bit of money to help them on their, you know, personal trips to get out here, see the sport grow, try and help with their impact from, you know, their background in sport or what they can offer on and off the court for all of these teams. So I think that there'll still be an attraction from internationals in terms of coming to Australia and New Zealand and that region. They love going down under, as they say. Wes, for example, is a great, he's coming, you know, he came back both seasons last year. He just loved being here, loved the environment and the people that are around here. So, you know, it's a different culture in New Zealand and Australia versus, you know, India, Asia, all that sort of market. So I agree. I hope that it does come back local. I think that, you know, perhaps some of the feedback would lean towards that being the case, but will we see captains even running the picks next year? Will that be the way that MLP Asia and MLP Australia run? Or will they go to a GM type style, which is what the Americans do and what their, you know, their larger entity move towards? Will we see ownership come in? I don't know. We know that our four original teams in Premier are owned. You know, you got Paddy Mills, you got, you know, the Australian names better than I do. Steve Smith, Nat Cook. I'm getting there.
Melbourne Mavericks, though, isn't an owned team, which is one of the four originals, which is surprising.
There you go. So, but, you know, is that the direction they're heading? I don't know. Will we see this controversy come around? Will, you know, as the same entity builds into each area and they are covering the areas, will we see them stick to their local areas more and provide pathways for their locals? Because ultimately, for a lot of these guys, MLP America is their goal. Like, if they got the opportunity to play MLP America, Challenger or Premier tomorrow, I think that'll go. So I think the end goal is common for all of them. And if they can all provide pathways in their local areas to get as many of them to play and then send them through, you get your likes of Amelia's over there and doing what they want to do and you know, taking that shot in the sport that they love and have, you know, dedicated their short-term life to, given that pickleball is only recent, you know. But there's so many unknowns in everything. Money, you know, we were talking earlier. Are they going to go ahead? Are these events going to happen? How many date changes and conflicts were there versus everything? Your guys' Slam Jam tournament last year was disrupted because of possibilities of PWR events and then they weren't there. So there's just so many unknowns, which is why I think so many people are just kind of not signing long-term contracts for anything, sponsorships, team commitments, anything like that. And that's probably the good thing about MLP Australia is you're signing up, and NPL and the likes, you're signing up for a short term. You're signing up for 6 to 12 months or, you know, whatever you're doing rather than a 3-year contract. You saw Gabe Tardio, 3 years of PPA. So next big thing, PWR offers him $1 million. He can't take it. He's signed for 3 years. You know what I mean? So,
Colin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dylan in regards to it's gonna be full circle. Once that Asia League opens up, I feel like the Indian players and obviously the Asian players, they're going to capitalize on that market and it'll come back around full swing. I think one thing that I've taken away is, you know, you got all this anonymous messages, you know, kind of hating on the draft that the professional league went into an international route, but we all have to consider that we have the Challenger now, and the Challenger's all Aussies, and that's how...
And New Zealanders. A lot of New Zealanders, actually.
And that's how the game is going to grow here in Oceanic region, and so I'm looking forward to actually following that. I think that's... I know a lot more of those players, and I think I'll jump on the bandwagon of that, but as Matt alluded to, there's a lot of unknowns, and if I was a professional player, I would be doing the same thing. I wouldn't commit to a 3-year term. I'd wait. I mean, there's more money coming around to be had. And you spoke about the China market, and that's, you know, we got boots on the ground. We got Mike Newell over there giving us some updates. And man, he's building this facility out there. I think he's taking this huge mall in Shenzhen, and it's only going to grow. And let's be honest, China is known for a bit of money. I think they're happy to play around and throw their money around, and let's not even, you know, think about Dubai potentially in the future, and they're going to be a big player. So I think at the end of the day, it's just great that the sport's growing. It went from, you know, me and you playing in COVID. I think a lot of people, that's how it kind of started. COVID was the kicking spot for this, and we look forward to not only watching the MLP but obviously the NPL with the majority of Aussies in that.
Yeah, I think the Challenger and NPL will probably be the most watched local, and Masters, because they're all local as well, will probably be the three most watched locally. And then, yeah, but there's always going to be injuries and stuff, you know, and Sanj mentioned that on her, you know, every time at the end, you know, there's going to be injuries. So these players are going to step up in both Challenger and Premier. So you got people that missed out on Challenger as well, or, you know, whatever reason. Here we go. You're going to play throughout the season because you're going to have people from Challenger step on up.
You saying I got a chance?
Absolutely.
Because I just want.
You got a chance. I got. Haven't signed you.
I got to get this off my chest. So I was on both draft lists.
NPL and MLP
yeah,
Challenger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I will say I was a 4.88 duper. And unfortunately, after Slam Jam, and I haven't told my missus this, but after I partnered her up with Mixed Doubles, she brought me down to a 4.5. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to come back and play again. But she doesn't listen to this, so we're okay. Love you, honey. But regardless, where was I going with this? Oh, the draft.
You thought that there was a certain group of players that weren't going to be
available. Yeah, so I thought if you got drafted for NPL, now let's be honest, I was never going to get drafted for MLP, but I thought MLP Challenger, solid chance. So I see all these names getting drafted by NPL, and I'm like, all right, they're off the table. Then I see MLP, I'm like, all right, they're off the table. I'm like, there's no one left. I think I'm a local legend. I think I'm going to get chosen. And then you see these NPL players now also getting drafted by MLP Challenger. Yeah. And good on them. That is a lot of pickleball.
That's a lot.
And I haven't looked at the calendars. I actually don't know how they correlate. But you were saying potentially in the beginning, they actually conflicted and they have adjusted those schedules.
Yes, I believe originally there were some conflicts between the dates of both NPL and MLP. But I'm not sure who or when, but I am obviously there's captains and people playing both leagues. So I would imagine that they are all non-conflict now. And yeah, there's a good understanding between them that they do want to allow these players to do it, because originally you were right. There was mention of anyone that, especially captains, but anyone that got selected for the pro division of NPL could not play the challenger level of MLP. And you couldn't be a captain of the Challenger MLP if you played in the pro division. And we've seen that that's not the case.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there. Those players who are playing NPL and Challenger, if you have a little bit too much pickleball and you want a substitute, Coach K here to save the day.
Masters too?
Not there yet. I'm getting there.
It doesn't raise the age. Would you go cross-gender to just get a taste of it and play female?
Mate, I've been doing 100 push-ups a day. These titties are getting big.
X, I think we referred to
that's what I meant. Yeah. I'll just play wherever someone wants me to play.
Oh, well, boys, MLP, it all kicks off in April. I think we're going to look forward to seeing how that season unfolds. They're going to be together the whole year too. There is that little quirky one where you can release a player. I'm interested to see how that works out, but yeah, we're looking forward to watching that
one. Is the first tournament the Aussie Open?
No, the MLP. So the first pro tournament is the Aussie Open, we're going to get into, but the actual MLP event doesn't kick off. The first tournament is in April in Tweed Heads.
Tweed!
Just down the road.
Really?
Called the Queensland Cup.
New South Wales, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely New South Wales. I know you haven't been here for long, but it's 100% on that other side of the border.
Yeah.
No,
so
they called it the New South Wales Cup.
Did they?
Yeah.
No, but was it called the Queensland Cup originally? I've seen a logo.
Separate. I'd have to pull up.
If I'm right, you're hearing this because I was right. If I'm wrong, edit, gone. Yeah, let's transition to some news. Slam Jam.